Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by and for gamers of all types. We cover everything from retro gaming to pen and paper role playing and everything in between. So without further ado, here's your host, Scormus.
Hey there, homies. Scormus here with another Pixels and Dice. And today, I want to get a little philosophical on you. Because I've been thinking that maybe there's such a thing called fate. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, you know, fate's just an old, outdated superstition. That my life isn't preordained. That, you know, I make my own choices. I determine my own destiny. Wait, we're not talking about you, Sparky. We're talking about gaming. And specifically, today I'm talking about MMORPGs. I believe what we're seeing now in the MMORPG genre basically was preordained. Basically, we've seen it before. And you know where we've seen it before? Pen and paper role-playing games. Now let's go back maybe 10, 15, 20 years or so. At one time, pen and paper role-playing games were huge. Decades ago, they were massive. They started out as a small little fringe hobby where you had, you know, a variety of little games out there, but none of them were super big. You had some big names, you know. You had the EverQuest of its time, which was Dungeons and Dragons. But you also had your RuneQuests, and you had your, you know, Star Frontiers, and all these different other games out there that weren't as big, but they weren't that much smaller either. And other than the moral majority coming out and hating on the role-playing community, it's a sin, oh, it's the devil's game, blah, 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 whatever. That's a whole other discussion for another day. Point is, everything was on an even keel, you know? You were getting more people into the hobby. Things were looking good through the 80s. Even into the 90s to a little degree, you know? There was a lot of expansion, lots of games out there. Then there was a bit of a problem. Magic the Gathering came out, sucked the money out of the role-playing community to go into collectible cards, and a lot of game companies went under. But in doing that, we saw kind of a resurgence to the role-playing genre, as you might call it, the pen and paper role-playing game, because that very company that put out Magic the Gathering, the one that caused so many companies to go under, also, in a way, saved role-playing. Because Wizards of the Coast, that very company, went out and bought TSR. The very TSR that had run Dungeons and Dragons and Star Frontiers and the Amazing Engine System and so many other role-playing games. And what did they do? They put out third edition, quickly followed by the revised 3.5 edition of Dungeons and Dragons. And in doing so, that was, let's face it, that was the World of Warcraft of role-playing games. not to be confused with the World of Warcraft pen and paper role-playing game, which was not the World of Warcraft of role-playing games. In fact, it wasn't even the EverQuest of role-playing games. It wasn't anything of role-playing games. It was pretty, well, it's neither here nor there. It's not a great game, okay? Point is, you had this big juggernaut, and you had a lot of people, a lot of publishing companies come out and go, oh yeah, we're going to jump right back in there. We're going to put out a game that's going to be just like D&D. And in fact, they seriously meant it, because D&D put out the, with Wizards of the Coast, they put out the open game license. And basically, you could use the same rules, the D20 rules, so to speak, the OGL rules of D&D, to craft your own games. So you had all these companies come out, and they were just literally pumping out D&D clones. Now, sure, they were different settings, they had different modified rules, things like that, but they were still based upon the core rules of Dungeons & Dragons 3.0, and eventually 3.5. So there was a big resurgence, and it grew and grew and grew until it was unsustainable. And now we've seen a bit of a fallback. We've seen role-playing games basically become D&D 5.0, you know, 5th edition is out there. And it dominates. Plus you've got Pathfinder, which was the resurgent of D&D 3.5 after Wizards of the Coast, after they went off and made 4th edition. The people behind Pathfinder went, you know what, we're going to stick with these old rules and we're going to just do our own thing with them. And that was great. People enjoy that. Awesome. And you've got smaller companies out there doing stuff, but they are definitely living in the shadow of Wizards of the Coast's Dungeons and Dragons. Okay? And Pathfinder to some degree. So, great. You've got companies surviving. You've got companies hanging on, some maybe more than others, but you're not finding any big, massive hits anymore. You're seeing some games come and go, and maybe the really hardcore pen and paper role players may notice a game, but for the most part, nobody else does. If you ask the average person about pen and paper role playing, the state of it today, they'll tell you, well, there's D&D. They might know Pathfinder. They might know it. Maybe some will have heard of White Wolf's books. You know, the vampire, werewolf, those type of games. They might have heard of those because those were a holdover from the big games before the crash. Great. But there's dozens upon dozens upon dozens of other games they've never heard of. Now look at today when it comes to MMORPGs. Are we not seeing the exact same thing here? I honestly. Think about it. You've got World of Warcraft. You've got Final Fantasy XIV. And that's about it. That are really big. Sure, there are other games out there that have name recognition. Your Star Wars The Old Republic, your Star Trek Online, your Lord of the Rings Online. But really, do they? I mean, think about this. Come away. I know I'm speaking mostly to MMO players here, but put yourself in the position of somebody that doesn't play MMOs. Or maybe they did briefly when World of Warcraft was huge, but then they kind of fell away. Ask them, hey, did you know Lord of the Rings Online is still a thing? That it still exists? The majority of people won't even know it's still around. Hey, that game, didn't that die years ago? Star Wars The Old Republic, same thing. Rift, same thing. Warhammer, same thing. Oh, wait, yes, Warhammer really is dead. But the point is, there's all these games out there that are still existing, still profitable. There are literally hundreds of MMOs still out there, some more profitable than others, some obviously bigger than others, but it has basically come down to the same situation that the pen and paper role-playing industry has fallen itself into. One or two big games, and everything else just kind of trying to exist down below. And that's obviously a sustainable model. It's not one that you would really hope for, especially if you're one of those companies trying to survive down here in the shadows. But obviously, there's still people publishing new role-playing games. They're still surviving. But you see the same with the MMOs. There's still games out there surviving. I mean, All Points Bulletin is still a thing. Did you know that? Hey, did you know that they're actually pulling more players than Lord of the Rings Online on Steam on average every month? Yeah. And Lord of the Rings Online has just gained a recent resurgence, and they're still not pulling as many players on Steam as APB is. Huh. Really? Who would have thought that? Of course, those are just Steam numbers, and no one knows what's really going on because nobody wants to put out their numbers anymore. And there's a reason for that. Because nobody wants to end up being the next Warhammer. Warhammer was honest. To some degree. They said, we're not going to go free to play. We're happy the way we are. And yeah, that wasn't sustainable and they went under. Not good. No bueno for them. And basically that ruined their whole development team. As I understand it, they've all been merged into another company now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, should we have seen this coming? I think we should have, to be honest. I thought the writing was on the wall. And really, until recently, I hadn't really equated it with the way the pen and paper role-playing industry had gone. But let's be honest, it fits. And since it does fit, let's look at the state of pen and paper role-playing right now, at this moment, and look at what that might mean for the future of MMORPGs. Because let's be honest, that the MMOs are basically a few years behind where pen and paper role-playing is. And if that's the case, that's a good thing. because there's been more of a buildup in the pen and paper industry. Sure, they're not huge. You're not seeing games that are challenging Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. But you're seeing games get bigger. You're seeing games get more popular. You're seeing games that aren't just D&D and Pathfinder and maybe some White Wolf out there. You know? You're seeing the Fate system, for example, get popular. Now, a lot of people are going to go, well, what's the Fate system? It is quite possibly the best role-playing, multi-genre role-playing system out there. It's extendable and can be used for all kinds of different things. Kind of like OGL was a couple decades ago. But better. More flexible. And has a variety of different games that are based off of those rules. You know, like the Dresden Files RPG, which is one of my favorites. And that's caused Evil Hat, which is a, let's be honest, it was a tiny little company, to actually be growing and be doing quite well. Still, albeit in the shadow of D&D 5th Edition and Pathfinder. But here's a little hint. They're not competing directly with them. And that's where MMOs might end up going. See, back in the day, we used to see companies try to overtake World of Warcraft, try to be the next World of Warcraft, right? Obviously, that didn't work. We're all quite aware of how that went badly for those companies. Most of them not around anymore, or they've faded off into obscurity. But maybe we're going to start seeing games stop trying to compete with World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy XIV and actually do their own thing. Try to be unique. Try to innovate on their own. And in doing so, maybe, just maybe, we're going to see a new renaissance to the MMO genre. It's never going to be what it was. Let's be honest. Those days are gone. There's never going to be another World of Warcraft, because even World of Warcraft isn't World of Warcraft anymore. Although I might argue it's better than it's been in a lot in several years, but that's not the point. Point is, we could start seeing, instead of one or two big games, we could see those same one or two big games dominating the skyline of MMOs. Sure, just like D&D and Pathfinder dominate the skyline of pen and paper role-playing. But the other buildings in that skyline, they're not just way down here, little tenements. No, they're growing. They're getting bigger. Some bigger than others. Some are shooting up faster than others. But they're starting to grow and get to where the skyline isn't just two big buildings, but a bunch of buildings, all of them very visible, all of them growing and gaining height. Gaining more market share, getting to where maybe they'll never be as tall, maybe as powerful or as dominating as those other two games, but they're getting somewhere. They're actually not just profitable, but quite profitable, which then causes other companies to go, you know, we went off to do MOBAs for a while, but hey, there's money to be had over there, so they'll come back and make another MMO. And maybe this other company will go, you know what, we've been doing fine with our MMO, you know, it's okay, but maybe it's time to start developing a second. Maybe it's time we start moving our resources into bringing that Asian MMO over and, you know, do localization for the West for it and throw some resources into that. You're seeing that, of course, with Trion Worlds, you know, with Arcage and with other stuff they're doing. They're bringing stuff over rather than throwing their own development money into new projects. They're bringing current projects over from the Eastern market and making them work in the Western market to mixed success, albeit, but they're at least trying. They're investing in the market, investing in the genre. And even though I'm not a big fan of Trion Worlds, the company, you gotta give them credit for what they're doing. Even though all their games, not even close to other games in the genre. Some would say that Rift is barely hanging on. I wouldn't. I've seen their Steam numbers. They're not Lord of the Rings Online. They're certainly not World of Warcraft by any means. But they're not EverQuest 2. And EverQuest 2 is barely holding on, strangely enough. I mean, it's weird how they're not succeeding. Anyway, that's not the point. Maybe it's just a, you know, they're having a bad year. I don't know. Point is it possible that we're going to start to see not another great jump for MMORPGs, but a point where we get to in the genre that there isn't just a few very popular games, but dozens of popular games. And the player base grows again to the point where it's not a problem if one game loses 50,000 players in a couple months, because they've still got plenty to survive. And if Game X is rolling along and they've gotten themselves up to maybe 100, 200,000 players, and then World of Warcraft puts out a new expansion and half their player base walks back to World of Warcraft to play that expansion, that game isn't going under. Are we going to come back to that day? Possibly. Quite possibly, in fact. And that would be much along the lines with where we are now with pen and paper role-playing. Because, like I said, there's two big games in pen and paper role-playing right now that are dominating. You got your D&D 5th edition, you got your Pathfinder, and that's great. But there's plenty of other games doing really well. And when 5th edition D&D came out, D&D was still up there. 4th edition was still up there pretty high, but Pathfinder was the big game then. And so they're, you know, bouncing back and forth as to who's dominating. But when 5th edition came out, that sucked a lot of players to go buy 5th edition D&D. And try it out. And they weren't buying as many books for these other games. But did that cause those other games to go under? No. No. They were able to wait it out. They were able to continue to put out product as if nothing really had happened. They still had their player bases. They still had people that were going to buy their books. And were going to continue to support those games. And play them at conventions and show them off. And now they're reaping those benefits. People are still playing 5th edition D&D, obviously. They're still playing Pathfinder, obviously. But they're still playing Fate. They're playing Numenera. They're playing World of Darkness. They're playing all these other games that are out there. There's literally way too many to talk about here. And I see that happening in time, unless things go completely awry with the MMO genre. It's a good news. It's a good potential fate for the genre. Yes, there will never be another World of Warcraft. There shouldn't be. Unless the day comes that Blizzard decides to shut down World of Warcraft in favor of their next shiny MMO. Fine. That's up to them. Maybe then we will see a day that some other game pops up and takes over. Or the new shiny takes over. Because that's what Blizzard does. They win. When it comes to a genre, they win. Except for MOBAs. Strangely enough, their MOBA Heroes of the Storm still sitting in like third, fourth place for MOBAs. This is odd. They dominate every other genre that they put a game out in. And yet they can't dominate in MOBAs. I don't get it. Regardless, that's neither here nor there. But all this, you know, half hour of rambling comes down to one thing. Things are looking up for MMOs. Because I could see it in the old role-playing games. If it can happen with old role-playing games, it looks like it's going to happen with MMOs. It's that simple. Anyway, I'm Squirmus, and generic ending catchphrase.